Okay, well, good morning, everybody. We've been away for a couple of weeks. Boy, it feels longer than that, doesn't it? I mean, it's 2 weeks since the Blacks were here. Yeah, remember that? Seems like a long time ago. But we're starting a new series today, and that's before we get into triple figures on the last series we were in. But the reality is, we're always going to be teaching the kingdom, isn't it? We're always going to be teaching the kingdom. That's the theme of Christ's message throughout the scriptures. So even though we're in a different series, a different title, it's still going to be very much the same message throughout. In our last series, we started to see that God's focus has always been for his people to walk in faith. Remember, we saw that. And what pleases God? Faith does. You know, that's what pleases God. So never think that you're pleasing God outside of walking in faith, right? And you notice it said walking, not taking a step. Yeah? Go to Hebrews 11:6. That's where we're going to start out today. Hebrews 11:6. Now the title today is, Will You Be Disqualified? And I thought of, first of all, you know, a lot of times when I'm teaching, I try not to use the word you, you know, because it feels like I'm pointing fingers at you. You know, normally I would say, I would entitle it, Will We Be Disqualified? But you know, it's an individual thing. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we will all come before the judgment seat, each one, right, to answer for the good and the bad in each of our lives. Yeah. So it is an individual thing. So that's why I use the title, in the title, Will You Be Disqualified? And in Hebrews 11:6, there's an interesting verse here that so many of us don't like to read. Yeah. And without faith, it is what? Impossible. It's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Yeah? So if we're going to please God, if we're going to be pleasing in God, we're going to have to be walking in this faith. And we've got to get out of this mindset that because we take one step toward God, it's all coming our way. Because remember the rich guy? He was told by Jesus Christ, in order for you to gain this age-lasting life, you're going to have to follow me in the present tense. Remember that? But many today are teaching the opposite to that. People can get age-lasting life by just taking one step. And we're going to be focusing on the Apostle Paul today. We finally get around to him. Yeah, I've been trying to get to this for weeks now. But we're going to see today that anything else is a lie from Satan, propagated by Satan and his devil spirits to ensure that as few as possible of God's redeemed ever gain their full inheritance in Christ's kingdom. In Christ's coming kingdom, we are going to be rewarded according to our walks in faith. Not because you took a step when you were 12 and thought Jesus was a good guy. Yeah? And then went on to live a life of hell and unbelief. Yeah, we're going to see that so clearly in the scriptures today. There's a clue in today's title as to where we're going in this series. Will you be disqualified? Yeah? Now that title will immediately be rejected by the majority of the redeemed. You know why? Because they've been taught that you cannot be disqualified. Because they've taken a step of faith. And therefore they cannot be disqualified. And by the way, that term, a step of faith, do you know it's never used in scripture? So that should immediately be setting off alarm bells in all of our minds. Whereas walking and faith are used together in scripture and clearly depicted by Jesus and Paul in particular, a walk of faith. In the present tense. A continual walking in faith. That's what God wants to see. And the only reason we'll use that term, quote, you know, a step of faith, is because so many think it has some significance. Whereas the truth is, it holds absolutely no significance at all in scripture. We're going to see that over the coming weeks, right? And we first saw Jesus now showing that young rich ruler, didn't we? What his criteria was and is for entering age-lasting life. We saw him clearly telling that rich man that in order to gain age-lasting life, that man would have to follow him in the present tense. Do you remember that? Yet today we've been taught virtually throughout all of Christianity that all anyone needs to do is take a step of faith. That absolutely contradicts what Jesus Christ our Lord taught. So again, we should be having alarm bells going off, shouldn't we? In all of our minds, alarm bells should be going off and saying, hold on, that doesn't tie in to what Jesus Christ our Lord taught. So we've got to be clear on that. Because, you know, we've gone through this, there cannot be a contradiction in Scripture, can there? If Jesus said we have to follow him in faith in the present tense, guess what? That's what we're going to have to do. But most people don't want to hear that. Why do they not want to hear that? Because they have to do. Yeah? They have to do. And most people don't want to do, do they? They don't want to change. They would rather take a step and then continue with their life the way they want to live it. That's making yourself Lord in your life. That's not making Jesus Lord in your life in the present tense, right? Because remember this verse, Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? He's talking to people who are calling him what? Lord, Lord, you're Lord in my life. You're number one in my life. And then you go on and don't do what I tell you. So he had some of the same issues going on even in his time. Yeah, they were saying, Lord, you know, you're Lord, you're number one in my life. And then he would look at their lives and they weren't doing what he was telling them to do. Does that ring any bells with any of us in life? Yeah. People who turn up to church for an hour and say, yeah, Jesus, number one in my life. And they go and live their life all week the way they want to live it and turn up again sometimes twice in a row on a Sunday morning. Ain't going to make it. We're going to see that in the scriptures today and over the next few weeks. That is not going to make it in terms of their inheritance in the kingdom to come. Yeah. So to make Jesus Lord, we will have to do what Jesus Christ wants us to do. You understand? In the present tense, not in the past tense. Not I did it when I was 17. Yeah. And now I'm living my life whatever way I want to do it. But you know, when I was 17, I did that. No. Believe me, it will not be what you will naturally want to do either. Making Jesus Lord in your life is not a natural thing. Love is not a natural response in life. If you haven't figured that out yet. Yeah. Because that's what Jesus Christ ultimately wants us to do. Now, here's an important truth. And have you got your pen ready? Listen up to this. This is such a massive truth in God's word. Anything that is not of faith is sin. That's a very short sentence. But boy, the realization of that is absolutely massive. So where does that leave the many? Yeah? Anything that is not of faith is sin. Look at Romans 14:23. Romans 14:23 says, but whoever, and you read this in context when you get home, but Romans 14:23 says, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. Look at this. For whatever does not proceed from faith is what? Sin. So how important is it for us to walk in faith? Absolutely massive. Because anything outside of that is what? Sin. That's a massive realization for us. And once that light comes on, for all of us, we'll be walking in light. Yeah? So where should our priority be? Walking in faith, isn't it? Because as we walk in faith, we're going to be excluding sin in our lives. Yeah? Now for most people, that doesn't mean anything. And I'm including the redeemed in that group. The many think that saying they believe, quote, believe, and turning up for an hour a week is consistent with them walking in faith. Yeah? And Jesus Christ has news for all of us. That isn't enough. Did you get that? That isn't enough. Because do you remember that rich man? He was a just man, wasn't he? He was a just man. He confirmed with Jesus that he kept the commandments. Do you remember that? So he had a great life on the outside. Yeah? And not only that, but there were the commandments that Jesus stated were necessary to enter into age-lasting life. Yet that same man was not walking in faith. Why? Well, Jesus saw through it, didn't he? He saw that this guy was walking in faith in regards to his riches. Yeah? He wasn't walking in faith. Was he doing the commandments? All indications are that he was. Yeah? You and I looking at this guy would have thought, yeah, he's got his act together. But Jesus looked through all of that and he saw he was not walking in faith because he was walking in faith in regards to his riches. Yeah. And when he told that man, you've got to get rid of your riches, that guy thought to himself, there's no way I can walk in this faith. Yeah. So he refused to let go of the hold the riches had in his life. And then he refused to walk in faith following Jesus in the present tense. Yeah. And we saw that in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Remember that? And these are the verses that so many use to confirm that you just need a step of faith. And we saw that these verses have absolutely nothing to do with those who are dead in sins, taking a one-off step of faith. But that's how they're used so often. And it has everything to do in that context with Paul's Jewish redeemed brothers needing to walk in faith apart from Mosaic law. Remember that? In order to be what? Saved. Yes, saved. Which relates to their inheritance salvation in the coming kingdom. Yeah? So we've got to keep that in the context as we go through today, in the context of our thoughts and minds as we walk through this sharing today. Yeah? So today, we're going to be looking at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, because it's Paul's own epistles that are so often used to teach the opposite of what Paul, by revelation, remember, was and is trying to communicate concerning our need to walk in faith. To walk in faith. And we'll see that today and in the weeks to come. So Paul's whole life and his whole ministry cries out about his own desire to walk in faith. And also the realization that if he did not walk in that faith, it would mean some form of loss in his life, in his future life. And today the many are being taught there's no chance of any loss as long as they have taken a step of faith. Yeah? And we'll see that nothing could be further from the truth. If we go by what the scriptures say. If you go by what theology says, then you go that other route. Yeah? But we've got to go back to what the scriptures say. We've got to come back to the fountainhead of truth, the scriptures, in order to get back to the truth. Because it's the scriptures that are true, not necessarily what you and I have been taught about the scriptures. And that can be a really hard paradigm to get into. Yeah. It can be a really hard battle to fight in your own mind. That we've got to come back to the scriptures, and then we've got to change according to what the scriptures say. But what so many do is they rely on what they've already been taught about the scriptures. You see? There's a massive difference there. And not what the scriptures actually are communicating to us. Right? And we saw that recently when we looked at Romans 10, 9 and 10, didn't we? What many of us have been using as an evangelical message to the dead in trespasses and sins has actually nothing to do with the dead and the unredeemed. Yeah? So let's now go to the scriptures then and see some of these great truths in the scriptures themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Look at this first word. Remember! That immediately tells you that they heard this before. Doesn't it? And how often do we need to hear things repeated? So often we do. It's a fantastic word. Remember. Why do we get together like this? So that we can remind each other. So that we can continue to hear the same truths over and over and over again. Remember. Remember Jesus Christ. What does that tell you? It's a Messiah, isn't it? And remember, we can't have a Messiah without a kingdom. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. As preached in my gospel. This is the Apostle Paul, by revelation, writing here in Timothy, right? In the book of Timothy. He says, as preached in my gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel of the messianic kingdom of Jesus Christ to come. Do you see that? That's what his gospel was. And we're going to see that over the coming weeks. Verse 9, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of who? The elect. We're going to see that's the significance of that in a minute. That who? That they. Who's that referring to? The elect. That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why was he enduring? For the elect. For the elect's what? For the elect to obtain salvation. Remember we saw that in Romans 10, 9, 10. That saved, that salvation is the future event in the coming kingdom. It's the future inheritance in that coming kingdom. That's why he was enduring. So that he could get as many people of the redeemed to get their full inheritance in the coming kingdom. That's going to become singularly significant for us as we move through this. And look at verse 11. The saint is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. But what if we don't endure? Yeah? Oh, well, I'm going to reign with him anyway. That doesn't say that. It says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. What if you don't? We've got to endure. Now we're going to see that as we get through this series, that Paul was one who continued to endure. Why? Because he wanted to reign with him. Do you want to reign with him?
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to endure. We're going to have to endure. There's no shortcuts. If we deny him, he will also will deny what? Us. Yeah, but I took a step of faith when I was 17. So? Yeah? If you deny him today, and I'm 22 now, yeah? It's still going to be denied. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, did you notice in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. And that's what I want you to note today. What Paul's priority was. It is the elect. He's enduring everything in his ministry for the sake of the elect. And we're going to focus on that today. Yeah? That was his priority, and we're going to see it's our priority. And we're going to see that Paul's ministry's focus was totally on the elect. Remember, we saw that in Romans 10. His focus was on getting his redeemed Jewish brothers to confess Jesus as Lord, walk in faith in reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That was just the focus. Yeah? We saw that in Romans 9 and 10. He wasn't talking to the dead. He wasn't talking to those dead in trespasses and sin. His focus was on the elect. Yeah? Now we should be asking ourselves at this point, why did Paul do that? Why did he continue running the race to the point of risking his life and suffering phenomenal trials throughout his ministry if he was going to get it all anyway? When he turns up at the judgment seat, he's going to get it all anyway. Oh, no, he isn't. It's going to be in direct relationship to the good and the bad in his life, the same way as every one of us. Yeah? And we've got to get this paradigm shift into our hearts and minds, because believe me, there are chains pulling us away from this in the world today. And I'm talking about the Christian world, who are teaching the total opposite to this. I'm going to see Paul did all of this to ensure he was not going to get disqualified, and that he would himself receive his full inheritance in Christ's kingdom here on earth. And it's not in heaven, by the way. Yeah? He wasn't enduring everything so he could get to heaven. There's no heaven depicted in Scripture. Look at that into our heads. And we're totally bombarded by that, and yet there's not one Scripture that tells us we're going to heaven. How come? Theology is teaching us that, not the Scriptures. The Scriptures is clearly depicting the coming kingdom of Christ reigning here on earth in righteousness. So why is Christianity talking about a heaven then? That's a good question. You better ask them that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. That's where we're going to concentrate on mainly today. And we're going to see some of the background now as to why Paul would endanger his life and suffer so much for the elect and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here in chapter 9, go to 1 Corinthians 9:19. And in chapter 9, Paul, by revelation, refers to the gospel 8 times. And we should now be very clear on what he's referring to when he refers to the gospel. Paul is referring to the same gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ proclaimed. And we'll see that so clearly in this series as we have in the previous series. It's the same kingdom. This is not a different gospel. We're going to see where the different gospel is. The different gospel is in the Christianity for the most part today are teaching a different gospel to this. And we're going to see that from the Scriptures. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, and this is where we get the title for this series, which is, Will We Be Disqualified? Yeah. And 1 Corinthians 9:19, it says, For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Now, do you see in this verse, Paul is referring to being a servant to all. Do you see that? That's important. Because he's talking about the redeemed here. He's not talking about the godless, idolatrous, unredeemed. Yeah? Who are dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking to the redeemed. And then Paul says that I might win more of them. His objective is to win the redeemed, those to whom he is serving. We've got to keep it in that context. those to whom he is serving, and we'll see that as we read on in this section. Now, we should be clear when Paul refers to winning. And I can almost guarantee most people listening to this have the traditional view of winning people. Quote, winning people. Where they continue to throw verses of scripture at people and see if some of them stick to the point they decide to follow Christ. That's a traditional way, isn't it? I've spent 30 odd years of my life doing that. You paint somebody into a corner, you throw as many verses at them as possible, and then you'll use that verse in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Remember that one? And we clarified what that's referring to. If that was the case, why don't we get all the malls across Canada to just blast out verses of scripture at people? You wouldn't get anybody going in the mall in the first place. If it's hearing the word, if it's hearing the scripture that makes you a quote follower of Christ, then that's all we should be doing. We should have a TV station just blasting out verses at people across the world. But we know that verse in Romans 10:17 is not referring to that. Yeah, covered that already. And people often refer to this as leading people to Christ. You ever heard that? Leading people to Christ. Do you know that term is never used in Scripture? Again, alarm bells should be going off. Don't use terms not in Scripture. There's no Scripture talking about leading people to Christ. So we shouldn't use that phrase. Because it's just not what the Scriptures teach. What do the Scriptures teach? Well, we saw it in Romans chapter 9, didn't we? And we saw it in Romans chapter 10. God has to first redeem a person. That's clearly depicted in Romans chapter 9. And then in chapter 10 of Romans, we saw Paul trying to point his redeemed brethren into being saved. And that's what this winning is referring to here in this section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to see that. This is not talking about what we are traditionally told this winning is about. This is referring to winning our inheritance in Christ's coming kingdom. You and I do not win people to Christ. God does. Yeah, God does. Don't make yourself God. It's a hard place to be. Yeah? Let him do that. Let him redeem people. And Paul knew this. Do you know why he knew that? He penned Romans 9. That's a bit of a clue. He knew this. He knew that God had to first redeem people. He knew that his ministry now was to the elect, those who God had redeemed, those who God had elected, to point them into winning the prize of the inheritance in the coming kingdom. Yeah? You and I do not win people to Christ. God does. Then our ministry is to point them to their inheritance so they can win their inheritance in the coming kingdom. Let me ask you a question. What do we call it when someone runs in a race and then they're first in that race? They win the race, don't they? That's a bit of a clue. They're in the race. You've got to be in the race to win the race. Yeah? But the many don't see that in this section. They're away winning the dead in their minds. Look at verse 20. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to what? Win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. Remember Romans 10. They were under the law. They continued as redeemed to walk under that law. And what did Paul do? He was quoting Isaiah, wasn't he? He was trying to win them back as one who was under the law himself, but not actually under the law, so that he could win them to the inheritance in the coming kingdom. So Paul here is talking about the redeemed. They were Jews, weren't they? They were Jews. They were redeemed. Do you see that? That's exactly what was happening in Romans 10, remember? And verse 21, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. These are the redeemed. These are people who are called of God, but were not walking towards their inheritance, that I might win some outside of the law. Look at verse 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people. Now, that all people is going to come up in a minute. We're going to cover that. That by all means I might what? Save some. Now, what's the majority of people's minds when he talks about save some? It's not what we learned in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's not, they are not referring to the inheritance in the coming kingdom. They're talking about something else. Yeah. But we've seen it. To save some is referring to the inheritance in the coming kingdom. It's referring to the salvation in the coming kingdom, our inheritance. Romans 10:13 said what? Remember when we covered this? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Context. What was the context? The context was the redeemed Jewish brothers who weren't doing that, and therefore they were not going to receive their salvation in the coming kingdom. He's not talking to the unredeemed. He's not talking to those who aren't redeemed. They were redeemed, but they weren't going to get the salvation in the coming kingdom. And he was saying, look guys, you're great guys, you're my Jewish brothers, I love you with all my heart, but if you continue to walk in this Mosaic law that you're walking in, you are not going to get saved. Right? Saved, they were not going to get their inheritance in the coming kingdom. Yeah. And we saw that over the last few weeks. Look at verse 14 of Romans 10. How then will they, who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jewish redeemed brothers. His Jewish redeemed brothers. How will they call on whom they have not believed? Now remember, we read earlier, Paul's ministry is to who? The elect. His ministry is to these guys. He's trying to win them over to understanding that in order for them to get the salvation in the coming kingdom, they were going to have to start walking in faith. And how are they? Again, it's referring to his Jewish redeemed brothers. To believe in whom they have never heard. And how are they, his Jewish redeemed brothers, to hear without someone preaching to them? Was Paul preaching to them? You bet he was. With all his heart, soul, mind and strength, he was preaching to these guys. In fact, at one point we saw when we covered this section that he would rather be cut off himself from his walk in Christ if only they would walk in this salvation, towards this salvation. Yeah? Verse 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel of the coming kingdom. But they weren't walking in that. They were walking in the Mosaic law. Verse 16. But they, again, it's his Jewish redeemed brothers, have not all obeyed the gospel. Remember we saw that? Some of them had, but they haven't all obeyed the gospel. So it can't be talking about the unredeemed. Can't be talking about those outside, those unredeemed idolaters that we so often refer to as not hearing the gospel. Yeah? Because some of them had obeyed. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So back to 1 Corinthians 9 again. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Now look at this. That I may, that I what? That I may share with them in its blessings. Yeah? Who are the all people in this section? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the whole world? No. Corinthians isn't addressed to the whole world. It's addressed to the redeemed. So Paul has just discussed all people. And those all people are those he has just detailed in the immediate context. He didn't become a dead idolater to reach those dead in trespasses and sins, did he? He didn't. The all people he's referring to are those who he's talking to in the context. And we have to keep it in that context that Paul is talking right here in the same chapter to those redeemed. He's trying to reach as many of God's redeemed as he possibly can by reaching them at their level of maturity in the gospel. Yeah? He said to those who are under the law, remember Romans 10? Those who are under the law, I'm going to go to them as one under the law, even though I'm not under the law. So we've got to be sure and understand, we've got to be sure we're understanding this in the context. Yeah? He was reaching them at whatever level they were at so that he could point them to their inheritance in the coming kingdom. Look at verse 23 again. He's doing it for the sake of the gospel, which is all about Christ's coming kingdom and our inheritance in that coming kingdom. Yeah? And then he goes on to say, that I may share with them in his blessing. That I may share with them in its blessing. And you've got to look at the tense of that to understand it fully. Yeah? It's optional, isn't it? It wasn't something that he was going to share. It was going to be a case of, I may share with them. Remember all the ifs that we read recently in the Bible, in certain sections of the Word. The blessings of the gospel is our inheritance to come in a future age, following the first resurrection, right? But it's not guaranteed, is it? It's not guaranteed. You see that? That's why he was such urgency in his life and ministry to the elect. That's why he endured. Remember we read that? He endured it because he knew that everybody that it was he was talking to were going to miss out on this if they didn't walk in faith in regards to the inheritance in the coming kingdom. Because it's dependent on our walk in faith. Our walk in faith in what? Yeah? It's not believing there's a God. The Bible tells us even Satan and his cohorts believe in that. Big deal. It's believing in the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the present tense. Following him in the present tense as our Lord and Savior, the Messianic one. And Paul knew that as well as anyone else in the church. That's why he endured. We're going to read at some point what he did endure. And you're going to ask yourself, wow, why didn't he just give up? Because he knew what he was giving up if he did that. Do you and I know what we're giving up when we give up this walk in faith? We would never give up our walk in faith if we realized what we were giving up. Do you know that? Because that's what motivates us. That's what God uses in the scripture to motivate us to continue to endure. Is that what's coming up in the future? That inheritance is so beyond what any one of us can even dream about. That we would never falter, we would never fail if we had a clear picture of that. We're going to see that over the weeks to come. Yeah. Now go to 2 Timothy 2:10. You know, we've got to realize Paul knew this. Paul understood this. Because if anyone could have sat back on his accomplishments, you'd think Paul could have. But he didn't. You know, nowhere in the scripture you see him sitting back and saying, oh, I believe once, or I've been redeemed, and therefore I've got it all. I don't need to do anything else. The mere fact that he is pouring out his heart and life to the redeemed tells you there's something they could be losing. And he makes it very clear. Romans 10:9-10 tells us they were not going to be saved. They were not going to get salvation of the inheritance in the coming kingdom if they continued to walk the way they were walking. Yeah? 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, I endure what? Everything. For what? The sake of the elect. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Isn't that fantastic? So back to verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? What's the assumption? They're in the race. Yeah? They're not on the sideline watching the race, are they? As many Christians are. They're in the race. They're on the track. They're dressed for the run. Got it? But only what? One receives the prize. So run that you what? May obtain it. May obtain it. But what if you decide not to run? Would you get a gold medal in the up and coming Winter Olympics here in Vancouver if you never participated? Would you? How stupid would it be for you to walk up to the podium and say, hold on a minute. Where's my medal? I'm looking for my gold medal. Because in my mind, I'm first. That's where most of Christians are. Do you know that? The bema is the podium. The judgment seat is the podium. And there are going to be many of them. And the reason I know that is Jesus Christ said it. There are going to be many of them turning up saying, Lord, Lord, I did many mighty miracles in your name. Cast out devils in your name. Bring it on. He's going to say, I've got nothing to give you because I don't even know you. And look at verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. You ever done that? Yeah? What's that fighting you get on TV? What's that? UFC. It's so easy to stand by the TV and throw all the punches. But the poor guy in the ring is the one with the blood all over him. Get it? Got to get in the ring. Now, we don't want blood all over ourselves, but we want to be in the race. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest preaching to others, here it comes, I myself should be disqualified. Yeah? It was an option. And it is an option for every one of us. So Paul clearly indicates here that if he didn't discipline himself and get himself under control, he could be what? Disqualified. And the question we want to answer, the question we should all be asking ourselves is, disqualified from what? That's what we've got to answer today. Do you realize that the many believe that there's nothing they can be disqualified from? So we should be looking at, what is it in the walk in Christ that many of us can be disqualified from? Yeah? And that's a fantastic question, isn't it? That is a fantastic question. And we're going to answer it from the scriptures. So let's get clear right up front. It has to do with what we are doing. Did you hear that word? Doing. Don't want to hear that very often. Or what we're not doing. Look at James 2:17. James 2:17 says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. Is there any life in it? No. It's snuffed it. It's dead. Yeah? 18. But someone will say, oh, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Yeah? And remember, we looked at the relationship between works and grace. Remember that? It's all grace. Yeah, don't try and separate it. It's all grace. The mere fact that you can do any work is grace. The mere fact that you can walk in faith is grace. So it's all grace. Yeah? Verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and what? Shudder. So someone comes up to you and says, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh really? That doesn't impress me too much. Yeah? What do they believe? What are they walking in faith in? Because there's many people today under the illusion that they are walking in faith because they believe in a God. You understand? Jesus Christ's focus and the Apostle Paul's focus, and in fact the focus of the whole scriptures, is walking in faith regards to the coming kingdom. And verse 20 says, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is absolutely useless? I added absolutely in there. Yeah. It's useless. So is it of any use? No, it's not. Yeah? It's not. We saw recently that relationship between grace and works, didn't we? We saw that to do the works of faith takes grace. It takes grace. There's nothing outside of grace when it comes to our God. Got that? Yeah. Nothing outside of grace when it comes to our God. Just look at how important David thought grace was. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. Look at Psalm 86:5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. This is the old Hebrew scriptures. Yeah. Verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. And just look at what God thinks of David. Acts 13:22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found, this is God talking about David, I have found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will what? Do all my will. Yeah? Why was he able to do all of his will? Because of the grace that he prayed for. So let's go back and look at Paul, who was among the greatest, now don't forget this, he was among the greatest men of God that's ever walked the face of the earth. Do you think there's something we can learn from his life and ministry? We sure are going to be learning a lot from him. 1 Corinthians 9:23. Look at this. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I what? May. Yeah? and look over the tense of that. Aorist, middle, subjunctive. Subjunctive means it expresses the idea of probable completion of the action of the verb with the possibility of the action of the verb failing to be completed. Do you get that? Not it's absolutely complete and you got it. There's a possibility it can be what? Uncompleted. He knew that. And we're going to see that today. We're going to see it over the weeks to come. He had this thing burning in his heart and life. This is why he endured. Yeah? That I may share with them in his blessing. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. Now I want us to continue to understand these verses in their context. Because we so often stop when we see a chapter change, don't we? Do you ever do that? Well, I'm going to read two chapters today. And you get to chapter two and you thought, oh, the brakes are on. Yeah, I've got to go and do something else. Do you ever do that? And we should never do that. Because we should be reading the scripture with the flow of thought of the scripture and the writer. Do you understand? Chapter breaks, chapter references are absolutely devoid of any divine authority. That is not God's division. It's man's division. And we're going to see that so clearly as we read on into chapter 10 here. Because it goes on here to give us an example of how this can happen. This disqualification, yeah, that we just read about in verse 26. Chapter 10 goes on to give us an example of the disqualification. You see how important it is to continue to read in the context. Don't stop at chapter 9, verse 27. Because that's where most people do stop. Yeah, we're going to carry on. That's the good news. But right here in chapter 10, it's going to give us a historical example of how this can happen. So, so important. Look at verse 10, verse 1. For! What does that tell you? It's a continuation, it's a conjunction. It's from verse 27 of chapter 9, for! See what I mean? You better scrubbing out that chapter 10 reference. For I want you to know, brothers, who? Brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Who's he referring to here? It's Israel, isn't it? Yeah? It's Israel. But they what? All did it. You understand? They all did it. It's important. Verse 2. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. Look at verse 4. And all, is he trying to get something across? There was nobody missing, was there? They all did it. Fantastic. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, I should have put that in capital, shouldn't I? Nevertheless, now what's he talking about? He's talking about they were all involved, weren't they? They all did the stuff going previously. Nevertheless, even though they all did it, even though they were all involved in it, nevertheless, what? With most of them, God was not pleased. Did you get that? Were they involved? You bet they were. Were they all involved? You bet they were. God was not pleased. Why? Should we ask ourselves? Well, got to keep reading. For they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness. Now remember in the context what we're getting here. The disqualification, isn't it? Were they all involved? You bet they were. They were all involved. They walked through the Red Sea. They walked under the cloud. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. And yet God was displeased with them. Why? Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. Yeah? You get it? Now, all of the redeemed did all of that that's depicted here. Five alls in four verses, by the way. Yeah? And God's trying to get something across here. Now, we remember we're talking in context about what? Being disqualified. Yeah? So, us all being redeemed is not what God's pleased about. Were all these people redeemed? Absolutely. They were. And yet God was displeased with them. Why? Because we see it in verse 5. They were overthrown in the wilderness. They didn't make it. Yeah? They didn't make it. So Paul, by revelation, is going on to give us here a fantastic historical example from the Hebrew Scriptures of how this has happened already. Do you get that? There's a precedence for this. You get it? We're not pulling this out of the air. This has already happened historically, where all of them got involved. And yet God was not pleased with them. Why? Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. They got disqualified. Just watch this now. Because Paul states the all, doesn't he? They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. All of that stuff they did. Yeah? So were they all involved? You bet they were. They were all involved. And were they redeemed? Absolutely. They were redeemed. No doubt about that. The scripture clearly tells us they were redeemed. But was God, quote, pleased with their, quote, involvement? He wasn't. Why wasn't he pleased? Look at verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as an example for us. Who's this addressed to? It's addressed to the redeemed. Yeah? Look at this. It took place as an example for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do you get that? That's what's going to make us fall in the wilderness. That's what's going to get us disqualified. Yeah? Verse 7. Do not. Do not. Who's that talking to? You and I. We're not to do this. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. And we think of idolatry as something, you know, the golden calf of lives. It's anything you put before the Lord Jesus Christ. Making him Lord in your life. Putting something before doing what he says to do. Get it? Do not be idolaters, some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down, now watch this, to eat and drink and rose up to play. Does that ring any bells with any of us? Yeah? Just check out the people around your life and how much this plays a part in their lives. Eating, drinking, and playing. You'd have absolutely no photographs on Facebook, virtually, if you took all that away. You'd have no forums on the internet if you took these things away. Understand?
Yeah.
It takes up the majority of people's lives. Eating, drinking, and playing. And verse 8 talks about a little bit about the playing. We must not indulge in sexual immorality. Yeah? As some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. Verse 9. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble. look at what's second here. Grumbling. Incredible. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as a what? It's an example. Example of what? Disqualification. Don't forget the context of what we're talking about here. It's the disqualification that Paul's talking about. Remember the first word in this chapter 10. For. Yeah? Now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the age has come. And look at verse 12. A little bit of emphasis in there in your notes. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. thinks. Do you know how many people think they're standing for Jesus Christ today? And they are going to fall in the wilderness, if this is any indication. And mainly because of verse 7. They're idolaters in some area of their life. They're eating, they're drinking, they're playing, they're putting that before the gospel. Yeah? Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to, what? Endure it. Is it available to us for us to endure it? You bet it is. Did Paul realize he would have to endure it? Absolutely. And we think today, there's nothing to endure. It's coming my way regardless of what I do. Believe me, there are things coming up in this age. Yeah, never mind the age to come. In this age, yeah, before the resurrection, that we will have to endure. If the scriptures are anything to go by, and if the world indicators are anything to go by, we better get ready for it. And us turning up for an hour on a Sunday and throwing a couple of verses out, grabbing our notes from church, throwing them into a folder, and thinking that we're going to endure it. You are history. I am history. When it turns up. If the scripture are anything to go by. Yeah? This has got to be, remember the soils? This has got to be rooted and grounded so deep in your heart and life. You've got to get so committed to this that you would give up your life for it. And many of us would put up our hands just now. Somebody walked in with a gun and said, you give up Jesus Christ or I'm going to blow your head off. Yeah? The church attendance would go down. Believe me, it would go down drastically. Yeah? But we can endure. We are able to endure because of what? Because God's faithful. God will get us through. And even if he doesn't get us through, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said what? Couldn't care less. Throw me in that fire. If he doesn't rescue us, I'm still going in that fire. Yeah? Verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Anything that we put in front of our Lord Jesus Christ, flee from it. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Why bother? If it's all coming your way. You know what I mean? Why bother? Why not sit back, get your cigar out, lounge, eat, drink, and play? Because the scriptures don't teach that. Yeah, it just doesn't teach that. And we've got to go by what the scriptures say, not by what people teach us the scriptures are about. Yeah. So we're going to make our calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, what qualities? And the other thing, what if we don't? Yeah. Remember, we've always got to ask ourselves some of these questions. If you practice these qualities, what does practice mean? Repetition? Yeah. Got to continue. Got to increase. Yeah. You will what? Never fall. Fantastic. Verse 11. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you not think it behooves us to figure out what these qualities are? Huh? If it's going to give us, verse 11, I think we should spend just a couple of minutes looking at that, right? Because next week we're going to see this eternal kingdom is equal to the gospel of Jesus Christ that we saw earlier. A gospel that is common throughout the whole of Scripture. And we'll see that when this kingdom is not taught yet, catch that? Another gospel has been taught. You get that? Another gospel has been taught if the kingdom has not been taught. And you and I going to a heaven when we die is another gospel. You get it? And the quicker we realize that, the better. That gospel is not good news. It's bad news. Why? Why is it bad news? Because it steals our inheritance from right under our feet. Because people who are taught that will never strive to endure. Because they've got nothing to strive for. They've got nothing to endure for. It's all coming their way in their minds. Yeah. And look at verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you. What does that bring us back to? Do you remember when we read first at the beginning? Remember. He's always reminding them. He's bringing them back to what the scriptures say. So we should never be worried or concerned about repeating stuff. You understand? Repeating the truth of the scriptures. I intend always to remind you of these qualities. No wonder. Why? Because we just read it, didn't we? Because these qualities, for in this way, they will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No wonder he was wanting to remind them. No wonder he didn't care about what they thought of these qualities. Though you know them, they what? They knew them. But even though we know them, even though we know about the inheritance in the coming kingdom, we need to be constantly reminded of this and are established in a truth that you have. So they were established. They knew these qualities, but they needed to be continually reminded of them. Why? For this very reason, verse 5, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Not substitute. Yeah? Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours, what if they're not? What if they're not? Because that is a real option, isn't it? But if these qualities are yours, and are what? Increasing. So it's not enough to know this stuff. We've got to be increasing in it. It's got to be growing in our lives. Do you see that? They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is what? Blind. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Satan is out to blind the minds of the redeemed. When we read about people's minds being blinded and people's eyes being blinded in the epistles, it's so often referring to the redeemed. He is blinding the redeemed's eyes from this. Do you understand? And he's doing it through the religious systems of this world. Prime target for Satan. Why? Because it gives him the whole credibility of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Lord! Remember that? Yeah? Remember the darnel? Remember the weeds growing up alongside the tree? That's how deceitful this whole thing is. So it's not enough, we see in this section, to have the qualities, is it? We have to be increasing in these qualities. You understand? It's got to be getting rooted and grounded into our hearts and lives. And look at verse 11. That's where we're going to finish off today. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you want an entrance, there's the key. Don't try and figure out a shortcut. You're going to be sorely disappointed at the judgment seat of Christ. We have got to go by what the scriptures say. So my prayer, my goal over the next few weeks is to ensure that we understand that disqualification is available. But more than that, how do we qualify? Let's magnify how we qualify. But let's be assured in our hearts that disqualification is an option for all of us. And we've got to avoid it. And how do we avoid it? By going and learning from the scriptures, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from the Apostle Paul, who got the revelation from Jesus Christ to write this stuff down. And gear our lives towards that. Not by what we've been taught about Jesus. Not about what we've been taught from the religious systems of this world. Yeah? So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatness of your truth. We thank you, Father, that your scriptures are true. And we thank you for the great walk in faith in Jesus Christ. And that this can be a great week, Father, for each of us to walk in that faith. And it's in his name, the name of our High Priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.